Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. If you're keen, the time frame we have in Pacific time frame, which I think is about 3 till 5 p.m. in Mountain Time, it's 4 till 6. Central Time, 5 till 7. Eastern Seaboard, 6 till 8, except in the case of a hurricane, in which case we have a delayed broadcast that never will play because you're all dead. And also in New Zealand, midday till 2 p.m., 5 days a week. But because we're broadcasting live from the future, ladies and gentlemen, it is already tomorrow. And in New Zealand, it is midday till 2 p.m., Tuesday through Saturday. I really want to encourage people to listen into the show live because I don't know. In fact, there's no real reason to listen in live. This show sucks. I mean, and there's archives and stuff like that. Just listen to the frickin' show. Jesus. I mean, well, sorry. I apologize to those who are religiously inclined. I didn't mean to speak out of turn. But my goodness, the show's really, really fun, especially if you just spent the whole day listening to really terrifying facts and figures and things of that nature that you would get off of other alternative media people, and not to mention the mainstream media, who I think the only flashing breaking news they've ever broken is about people being killed and murdered by other people. And they forget to mention the SSRI drugs they were on that caused them to kill them and themselves. My very special guest today is Mark O'Neill, who I have no idea who he is. Mark, welcome to the program.
Hello, how are you doing? Big shout out from Chicago, Illinois, the new murder capital of the world.
It's the new murder capital of the world. Are they also the most highly prescribed drugs in the world as well? Or is it just that they've got massive gun bans?
You cannot have any kind of gun whatsoever in my municipality. I believe not. No, not even black powder.
All right. Well, that makes sense why the murder rate's so high then, because all the, as far as I know, criminals preferred disarmed victims.
Yes, I've heard this too. I guess they're easy prey.
Yeah.
And no resistance.
Yeah. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Mark?
All right.
Do you have a website or anything of that nature?
Yes, I do. My blog is royalmanibal.com, and that's a WordPress blog, and it's been getting a little bit of a buzz here. I use that to promote my writing. What I do when I am not dodging bullets is I am the author of the amazing YA series, The Ancients and the Angels, right here. Book one is Celestials. And it is, like I said, geared for young adults, and it has a subtext of awareness. And I like to call what people call the truth movement the awareness movement. Just calling it the truth movement to me denotes 9/11 and nothing but, because they're also called truthers. There's way more than 9/11 that we have to talk about, and anybody who watches the Vinnie Show knows this. We're being assaulted from all sides with these issues.
Yeah, it's a constant battle, isn't it? And
yes.
I don't know about you, but it seems kind of what's the word? Vain? In order to think that, you know, I'm a truther. I know the truth.
Yeah, I guess I can see where some people might feel, you know, a sense of superiority because they're like, well, you know, I've woken up to this. I know these secret knowledges that you are unaware of, and maybe I'll make it better than you do. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a split prong that, you know, you can find out the truth and find out everybody's a dumb slave and that kind of thing. And then instead of trying to free the slaves, you just want to enslave them even more and for your own benefit.
Well, yeah, that's something to think about. I mean, if this system does change, maybe the new boss will be the same as the old one.
Yeah, well, if the lessons of history are to be heeded, that'll be the way it goes.
Yes.
I think, what is it exactly that we're supposed to do? What exactly are we supposed to change here? Because I don't know about you, but I think nothing works and everything has to change.
Yeah, I think it's a holistic solution. Everything in our systems and the systematics of it needs to be changed or overhauled. And right now, I think that humanity in general is in an examination phase of this. They're looking at what's happening. They're waking up to it, and they're saying, wow, I need to do something about this, if not for humanity in general, just for myself, in order to survive this. We have coming to us.
Continue.
Well, when I say what we have coming to us, and when people refer to as them, the powers that be, to me, it's a global triumvirate of transnational banks who are funding corporations that pay off your governments. These three work together in a Illuminati pyramid. There, I just flashed a sign. And none of them have your best interest, the general public's best interest in mind. And that's frightening.
What's more frightening is that they claim that they do, that they're doing all this stuff for our own good. You know, they feel like, oh, we need to protect them. These dumb slaves don't know how to take care of themselves. Let's take away any vestige of personal responsibility that they've got. We'll take responsibility for it because obviously we're very responsible people. We're only responsible for every single mass genocide and environmental catastrophe that's ever fucking happened in the Earth's history. We've got to take care of all the people than us. You know, take care of them in the British gangster sense of the word.
Take care of them. Yeah, they do that. They are in work like gangsters in many ways, and I feel that they have taken what could be decent governments, that being the transnational banks mainly, and compromised them, infiltrated them, and put all their people into their positions of power. Legislation and lawmaking, and now we're biting the bullet for it.
Yeah, in some cases, literally, you know, like here, whistleblowers and things of that nature is being demonized and attacked, and some of them even assassinated. So it's getting freaking real out there.
It is, and when you take a look at UN Agenda 21. Anybody who follows the show realizes that the ultimate goal is by the decade of the 2050s to depopulate the planet by 6 to 6.5 billion people. And it's already 2013, bro. We don't have a whole lot of time. When you think about that, that's a lot of people in a few years, just a couple of decades.
Well, if they come up with these projections, mm-hmm. What I've found is that they get behind schedule sort of thing in a lot of cases because there's people out there throwing monkey wrenches in the works.
Good.
You know, indefinite delay is my game, really.
Well, there's only so many of them, and, you know, they're very few. They have to work with secrecy, subterfuge, and guile in order to continue on with their timetable, their regularly scheduled program. The thing is, as our conditions deteriorate year by year by year, and you can see this, more people are being almost forced to wake up and say to themselves, wow, what's happening here? Why did this happen to me? I did everything right, soup to nuts, and now I'm looking at homelessness, or my family's destroyed, my bank account's been cleaned, I don't get my pension.
Mm. You notice how good people aren't suspicious of bad people until something bad happens to them?
Oh, yeah, that's exactly how it works. Well, not always, but for the most part, part and parcel, yeah.
Mm. Well, I think, what was I saying yesterday to a mate of mine? Yeah, I think there's this 20-80 deal. So there's 20% of the population who sort of know what's going on, and about 80% of the population who know that something's wrong. They just don't know what the frick it is. Yeah. So they're a little bit suspicious. And out of the 20% who know what's on, I think it's divided almost half and half between those who know what's going on and just think, you know, it's just the system, boy. You know, you got to get along with it to get along. And, you know, the people who kind of are willing to negotiate with gangsters for fear of reprisal. And then there's the other 10% who are just like, you know what, I'd rather die than live in a world controlled by these people.
You know, sometimes I feel like I fall into that portion that would rather not be here than live under that. And I find that to be disheartening. But I still keep on. I still keep producing, and I still keep working through it. I'm not going to give up. We're not there yet. And when you were talking about these percentages, that is how the globalists work. They rely on it. Divide and conquer. And it's not just a two-party system of Democrats versus Republicans, national versus labor, Tory versus labor. It's multifaceted. It's like a broken mirror. And so many people who do not get extremely angry in this day and age, in this decade of the 2010s, if you do not fall in lockstep with their ideology, because by and large, people are very scared right now.
It reminds me of that film Network, when he says, okay, I don't know what to tell you I don't want to tell you to write to your congressman because I don't know what to tell you to write. I just know that first you've got to get mad. You've got to get really angry.
Right.
And what that says to me, just at least in my personal experience, is that you have to have something really bad happen to you before you know that the really bad stuff is actually really out there, that you're not just imagining it, you know? Like, you need to see a ghost for yourself in order to believe that ghosts are real.
Right, right. Otherwise, it's speculation, it's conspiracy theory rather than a true conspiracy. And even when you do see that proverbial ghost, as you said, it might take a while to wake up. You could get hit over the head with the real deal and still not believe it. We've been fed a normalcy bias as we've grown up, and it's hard to divorce yourself from it. That's the problem. And once you are smacked in the face, even with that cold jet of water, it still might not take, not initially.
I remember talking to this guy in a bar once, and I was trying to explain to him, look, dude, just imagine for a moment that everything you've ever been taught is a lie. That everything you see out there and everything entirely is a lie. He's had this kind of blank stare on him because how exactly do you comprehend, really, that everything's a lie? Because you'd have to have the truth about everything explained to you step by step, and there are many, 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 many things out there, you know, regardless of whether it's physics or healthcare or politics or television or movies or things like this. And we've all been told these certain things about religions and all sorts of other things. In order to deconstruct and actually figure them all out and what they really, really are, that's not something you can just tell somebody and they suddenly get the whole picture. It's not possible.
No, it isn't. And people are only involved in what their own personal interests are. And I think that that's going to be where a person is going to be most interested in this certain aspect of conspiracy and what's going on with their life, what concerns them most, where they got hurt the most from the establishment, and what their field of study and best favorite interests are. So let's take,
It's like a crowbar, isn't it? You know? Uh-huh. You got to drive that wedge in there in order to open the door for people. And you've got to find out that one conspiracy that they're susceptible to.
Yeah, that jackpot that you hit. For instance, a lot of people who follow David Icke, for instance, have more of a attracted to the metaphysical and spiritual conspiracies. What's happening, not just in our universe, but beyond in another dimension? And how is that affecting us and controlling us? Now, you would think that with my book, which deals with demons, angelic forces, and life before man, I would be into this. Not really. I'm more, I guess, toward the Alex Jones side of what's going on in the prime material reality and what the globalists have in mind for humanity. And later on, I think that that's a give and take with extra dimensional. As strange as it sounds to any blue pill people listening to this, extra dimensional conspiracies that are happening to us, compromises.
Well, I think it's kind of like part and parcel. Like, you need that solid base of real knowledge and, certified information that's been rectified and what have you. But also there's what David Icke talks about, the sense of the possible. And right. If your sense of the possible is suppressed, then it doesn't matter if you know these facts and these documents and things like that, because there'll be other things that just won't enter into your thought process that'll get you. You know, I think that's how it's supposed to work. I think if you wake up to one, it disparages the other, regardless of which one you break into.
Well, it's like we're wrapped in a giant stinky onion and it has so many layers and levels to it that you peel back one and you find a new one that you're exposed to, and you think to yourself, oh my gosh, I got to deal with this truth again. And it goes deep, farther than you and I both know combined, probably. And we both are privy to our own normalcy biases, even still having known what we have, what we know, and what we've experienced in our own lives.
Yeah. Well, hold on. We'll take that up after the break. Cool. Mark O'Neill is my guest. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide, because the world's so full of chaos and madness. If you lose your sense of humor, you'll go freaking nuts, regardless of whether or not you're talking about the physical or the metaphysical or the buzz. Fizzle. We'll be right.
Yes, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from Siberia, in exile from the Tsar. My very special guest is Mark O'Neill. Welcome back. And he's broadcasting from another Soviet Socialist Republic known as Chicago.
Привет, товарищ. That means right, hello, comrade.
All right. I only know Dasbe, don't you? All right. And vodka. You know, those are the only two Russian words I know. Dospedanya and vodka.
Dospedanya, don't get any on you.
Yeah, for Rizzle. Speaking about Chicago's gun bans and stuff like that before, and we're going to make a joke about Illinois, that they call it that way because everybody's like so deprived of ability to just protect themselves that in Illinois they're all just a little annoyed. And it occurs to me that the United States culture, and I say the word culture operatively, has really taken a turn for the worse. And you said that is it the Reverend Jesse Jackson? He said that he wants the TSA on the streets, armed.
Yeah, Yeah, he had brought that up a couple weeks back.
Now, see, this is the insanity of it. Ordinary law-abiding citizens cannot be trusted to protect themselves. But convicted pedophile sex offenders with no training of any kind with firearms or law enforcement who grope people for a living with zero justification, that's cool. Has somebody lost the disconnect here?
Well, I guess we could point fingers at a few people, but there you go.
Well, that's what the TSA do, as far as I know.
Yeah.
They point fingers in very, very awkward places.
When you least expect it.
Yeah. And apparently the Federales call them the TSA. Right, well, anyway, why don't you talk about your book?
All right, sure. Okay. The Ancients and the Angels is a series. I'm hoping to make it a trilogy and might need to go into four books because I'm just getting so much material. And it parallels what is happening to us today with the world under a globalist hostage, basically. A quick synopsis of it without giving too much of a plot away is on an ancient Earth right before the dawn of humanity, and that's modern man, Homo sapiens sapiens. We're talking about 200,000 years prior to us. The story features a young girl who is chosen by the creator to thwart an imminent invasion of demons from the Inferno. Now, you probably ask yourself, a girl, what kind of girl is this? Well, my book's a bit unorthodox of the fact that there's no human beings in this book at all. The dominant life form, in my imagining of this, are elves. Everybody loves elves. So, I use that as the special ego for which your reader can enter. The fellow mortals of fellow mortals and elves of prominent power and position in society are in cahoots with these demons. But they believe them to be what are called elder beings from beyond the stars. They call them elders. This cabal is analogous to the globalists of today. The demons grant them power, knowledge, technology, and in order to contact these beings, these cabals make use of red magic or blood magic by sacrificing children. Now, this part of the book may be rough, and parental guidance is suggested. I feel if you have a teenager that I don't glorify the violence, though, like in certain areas in The Hunger Games, let's say. With the aid of a rogue angel, the infernal forces steal what I call thelemic arcs. They're in the form of giant pyramids from paradise, and they aim to use these vehicles as a means to kidnap all mortal life on Earth into the hell's body and soul. The infernal forces, with the help of the corrupt cabals, come to Earth as saviors intended to protect them from an engineered and completely phony alien attack. From here, the story deals with Earth's evacuation plans, how society reacts to this impending false rapture, and eventually, when the demons infest Earth, it's up to the elves to go and take it back. The setting is primarily in ancient Atlantis, but the entire ancient world is featured. It's not what you think when I say the word ancient. The tech level depicted is about 50 years beyond ours, and it manifests itself in a different way. They have an internet, but it works differently. They have a clean, reusable, universal power source. So they don't have differences between coal and oil and steam. The guy I have up next hour on the show probably love that stuff. And it's the name of the power source is called mana. That routine technology would be magical for us today. You had another guest earlier a couple weeks ago that was talking about how the technologies that we enjoy today would be considered magical 300 years ago. Let me give you an example. What we're doing right now, okay, 30 years ago, this was science fiction. This was Blade Runner. We're talking on video phones. But 300 years ago, prior to that, that's crystal ball. That's mirror, mirror on the wall. You know, we'd burn at the stake if they caught us doing this.
Well, you know, I've got this this idea. It'd be quite funny actually if we did go back and we had Skype and iPhones and all of this kind of stuff and just got burned at the stake because of it.
Right. Well, that may be in the works. Who knows?
Look, it's only an Apple product, man.
Yeah, right. The spirit of Steve won't let you have that. themes though in my book. These are things that are relevant to today, are compromised governments. The malevolent forces of the Inferno embed themselves within the governments of the world to gain a foothold of power. Also, I focus on disinformation. I have a parallel to the Black Bloc called the Black Hood in this, and they work as stooges for the Infernals, used to foment dissent. They're scapegoats to a botched plot. And as I had mentioned before, we have the occult conspiracy and child sacrifice by globalist elites. They employ what you might know as Solomonic magic for selfish and harmful purposes. There's nothing wrong with Kabbalah. It's a tool just like anything else, like an axe or a fire hose. You can use it for good or ill. You can use it to construct or be destructive. And here it's being featured as a destructive force by the globalist elites. I also focus on the topic of the low-frequency ruse. These demonic beings are energy beings of low frequency, and they use their beauty and glamour to beguile the people of the Earth into slavery. On Jeff
like
Doherty,
Lady Gaga.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm about to get to that. On Jeff Doherty's show, he's on Blog Talk Radio, NC Kabbalah and Friends. Great, great show. He was talking about YA predictive programming and energy, lower forms of energy in terms of conditioning the young, the population into accepting these traditionally malevolent characters like vampires, witches, demons, whatever have you, as your friend. Now, whether or not the authors are exactly to blame is not exactly known, because J.K. Rowling and Suzanne Collins and Stephanie Meyer, they're being paid by large publishing corporations, and they're privy to their editors. Those editors might be chopping up and messing their books to fit that publishing company's corporate agenda. So I think it's kind of unfair to, you know, poke jabs at the author, his or herself. But that's one topic that I go into. Even though the demons depicted in my book are glamorous and they're quite beautiful, they are also depicted as bad guys, and they are being used to beguile and ruse the public. Like you said, just like the Lady Gaga, Katy Perry, and that new Kesha video, Dying Young, you know. I also have a theosophical view of religion. The Society of Ancient Earth is pantheistic, but it's also a one religion. So they all worship a pantheon of 12 gods. It just and some, depending on where they live, pay more fealty to one god than another. Martial law is also examined. As the world prepares for evacuation, Atlantis is placed under martial law, and the constitutional rights of its citizens are suspended. I also examine spiritual warfare. The people of the world, although they are eventually aided by angelic forces, have to use their free will and determination to help themselves. There is a Crowleyist struggle for the moral right to live and thrive in the high-frequency prime reality. And I think one of the reasons why, and this again is more into David Icke territory here, but one of my theories about why low-frequency entities such as demons vie for higher-frequency life forms such as mortals is because we're mortal, our energies are more condensed, they're more concentrated, and therefore they pulse at a higher frequency, and these lower frequency, eternal or immortal beings are jealous of that. Not even so much jealous of it. They want to just siphon that power, that energy. I also focus on social panic as fueled by the mainstream media. And one of the chapters I've written is in the form of a website forum. And it shows the division, the divide and conquer paradigm of all the people fighting, and then government agents, actually infernals, chime in and troll the website to make everybody think everything's okay, all clear. eventually, too, in the story, the heroine is of the story is blamed for sabotage with a false flag. She's played as a patsy. And like I said, these elements are things that parallel issues that we are experiencing right here and right now.
Yeah. What was it? That quote from V for Vendetta. Authors use lies to tell the truth, while politicians use the lies to cover it up.
Right.
Well, is there something that really inspired you to get this going? Like, who are your prime influences? Did you have like some kind of an aha moment at some point, and you got into writing, or had you been a writer for a while?
No, I this is my first book I've published. I had some short stories put on the internet here and there at certain writing forums prior to that. I just was dabbling in it. I thought it was kind of fun. Classical training is in graphic design from Indiana University, and then painting is a master's degree from the University of Cincinnati. I don't really have any formal training in creative writing. I wasn't an English major or anything like that. Works that influenced me mainly, and you might see parallels to this in my books, are Frank Herbert in the Dune series. There's a lot of conspiracy and drama and backstabbing. Same with the George R. R. Martin series, Song of Ice and Fire. So if you like those, you'll enjoy this book. Robert Cormier, he's a young adult writer that was very critical of how the government and secret societies treat children. Philip K. Dick, my book in many ways is very paranoid, and one of the works that initially woke me up to just how society operates in general is the book of Scanner Darkly, and it's perfect. It describes the war on drugs to a T. But I like to think of myself as like a Robert Anton Wilson for kids, the Illuminatus trilogy. I don't have the wacky humor that he does, but it still touches on a lot of those topics. Basically, my intent is to make young people aware of the dangers that our mainstream establishment are enacting, right under our noses this very day through the YA writing genre.
Mm. All right, fair enough. Well, there's got to be some way to wake the youth up. And somebody told me the other day that the youth are so brainwashed, they'll never wake up. And my mentality is actually, well, it's not like you can't wake anybody up or you can wake everybody up. It's really individual kind of thing. But I think if you've lived 30 years under this system, and you haven't woken up yet, it's going to be much, much harder. Whereas I think if you're young, you're actually a lot more impressionable. So it's probably easier to wake up younger people, if only you can distract them from the Facebook and Xbox and PlayStation and beer and weed for long enough. We'll be right back after the break with Mark O'Neill at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you're enjoying this episode. Back in a minute. It's about right. It's gone.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show that recognises that the world we once knew when we grew up as children is now gone. And we were just talking over the break about when we were young men and how preoccupied we were with these, shall we say, distractions of the female kind. You know, I think that was a Steven Spielberg movie with Richard Dreyfuss at one point, as opposed to Close Encounters of the Boob kind. And
that's the clean title of the name.
Yes.
FCC regulations.
Fucking FCC. You know? If there's some kind of. Look at it this way. I was driving around in a car this one time, and a dude that was driving in the car saw another guy. Who had a tail light out, and he took the liberty of taking down that person's license plate number, all right, to report him. And I was just thinking to myself, like, it's not your job to, like, snitch on everybody else around you, mate. Haven't you got anything else going on in your life that's worth doing that, you know, you could do instead of narking on other people? No, and apparently he didn't. Yeah, you know? This is the thing. You can either focus on really big things and do what you want, or you can focus on really small things and prevent other people from just living their lives. You know, it seems to be the dichotomy here between the living and the living dead.
Yeah, that's about right. You know, boredom is the boogeyman of reason. So there you go.
Yeah, I haven't been bored in quite some time, I don't think.
I never am.
Mm. Well, so there's always something to do, and I think we've only got one segment here left.
Yeah.
Is there any words of wisdom or like fantabulous knowledge or anything like that you'd like to get out here? And also, I missed the website again.
It is www.royalmanibal.com.
Royal Manibal? How do you spell Manibal?
Manabal.
And Mana Bale. Mana Royal Mana Bale.
No, B-A-L-L. Royal Mana Ball, yeah. That's my blog.
Okay.
And you can read all my rants, reviews, and author profiles on that. I like to profile other authors whom I believe in that I think are really good writers. And one of them I really want to tell you about. You got to get her on this show, man. Her name's Lada Ray, L-A-D-A Ray. She's a gal from Russia, and she writes young adult series, and they're very awake, they're very aware, and she's got three out right now. One's called The Earth Shifter, and it has a companion saga called The Earth Keepers. And what happened last week and still going on today with the meteor strikes? She predicted this stuff part and parcel. Twitter has been ablaze with this girl. But what's also more interesting, and the books are great. Like I said, I have an author spotlight for her on my blog. But she used to be a financial consultant for AIG and Smith Barney Citigroup. Before that, she lived in Cuba and interviewed the man Fidel Castro multiple times. You got to get her on here, man. Pick her brain on this stuff.
Yeah, send me
awesome. I will.
Send me her email or contact details. You know,
okay.
That's what the show is about. Somebody requests to come on the show, they wind up coming on the show. I'm not really picky,
bro. She is the closest thing I know, at least by her her biography to Indiana Jones. She's like Indiana Jane. I'd love to hear what she has to say. And I'd already mentioned NCK and Friends, which is a podcast that deals with more of a spirituality aspect. I would love to see you two guys do a double header like you do with some other people's podcasts. That'd be so great. You got to check that guy out as well. What's coming up for me in the near future? I have the sequel to Celestials coming out called Archons. And in case you're not aware, the sequel to Archons is, the name of Archons, rather, is Greek, and it simply means ruler. And what happens in this book, I'm not going to go over any plot points because I don't want to spoil it. And I'm currently going through an editing phase. But it deals with mind control on a mass scale, mass demonic possession, chemtrails, bioengineering and biometric chimeras, bioengineered depopulation agenda, and the truth behind crop circles. And Vinny, it ain't UFOs. You're going to have to read Archons to find out. And that's Ancients and the Angels, Book 2.
Okay. Well, yeah. You got a lot of ideas, a lot of stuff coming out. And the book's been released for how long now?
Almost a year, and sales have been picking up the last couple of weeks, actually. I've got another interview that will be on author Maria DeVivo's site. She's published by Twilight Times Books with the Carol Jenks Agency, or just the Jenks Agency. I don't know the exact name. She's the author of the amazing YA book called The Coal Elf, and That will be available online at mariadevivo.com on March the 29th. So you'll get to see, I think it's a text-only interview. It might be Skype. I don't know if she wants to do that or not.
Well, you know, I'm glad that you're actually getting out there and doing what you really want to do. And yep. I'm reminded of a conversation we had with my producer Mitch's daughter. She's 18 now, and she's about to go into the workforce. And being the daughter of a producer of a show like this has exposed her to a lot of truths about how the workforce really is, and how it just basically it's. I think, as they say in Judge Dredd, the new movie, it's a meat grinder. You know, people go in one end, meat comes out the other. And it's really difficult. I must say, had I this knowledge before going into the workforce and things like that, I probably would have. I don't know what I would have done. I had my camera and I had all that stuff, and I would have never gone to university. I would have never gone into doing awful lots of jobs. I probably wouldn't have become a tele salesman or anything like that. I'd be a radically different person. And she's going into this and starting her work life knowing that all the work life is a fraud and you've got to basically do it on your own in order to be who you want to be. And that's really tough, man.
You bring up an excellent point. And, you know, since I do have a lot of young adult followers because of the nature of my writing, my best advice to you is to grow yourself, galvanize yourself. Even if you do go to college, week one, I'm talking on freshman fortnight, start producing whatever it is that you love and begin promoting it. Don't let them say that you're too young to be good at something. Get good. And the only way you get good is by practicing. And it has to be self-motivated. Your college classes and the product that come out of them just aren't going to be enough. And say if you want to get into journalism, get that podcast going. It's free, or relatively little money. Get people out there to know you. Get people out there to be exposed. By the time you're out in 4 or 5 years, you might be famous. You never know. And that's my best advice. Whether you're programming apps, writing books, making a new video game, inventing stuff, making prototypes. The first Apple computer was made with balsa wood. I mean, nobody would buy it, you know, but it now look at what the company is today. You're going to have to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps because, yeah, you can't rely on the corporate world. This is 2013, not 1983.
Yeah. I mean, all the corporate world's going to do is if you're young and you are full of creativity and you've got lots of brilliant ideas, they'll simply steal your ideas from you and give you frack all credit for it. and just make the money for themselves and toss you out in the cold. It's what they do to everybody.
Yeah, you might work there for 90 days, and then at will you're gone, and they've got your product. It's in their they're part of their intellectual property. You know, how much time do we have left?
We've got like a minute.
Okay, I'm going to in this last minute read the opening paragraph to The Celestials. It's story time on the Vinny Eastwood Show. Book 1, Celestials. They arrived in the late afternoon. Them. They were made from nothing more than the simplest of shapes, yet that shape would prove to become a badge of doom. That afternoon, in the middle of what seemed to be an ordinary fourth moon, the sun was interrupted by their shadows upon every corner of the earth. They broke through the very fabric of reality like ripped linen in a frightening synchronicity, and they all loved being a part of that foul moment, if one could call what they felt love. As for all that lived on earth, they held nothing but spite. It was an unholy malice that was forged forever and cemented not long after that wonderful blue world's creation. Little did the people of the earth know that terrible day they were targeted for a grand rapture, and their destination would be total damnation.
All right. Well, I think that's the greatest nation in the world. Damnation.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, maybe that's what we should rename the USSA. I mean, the USA. I mean,
damnation.
Well, the United Satoru Alliance.
United States of Satanica.
Yeah. Oh my God. There's so many things wrong with America, wrong with the world, and it's just they're too much for one person alone. But what I found is that when you have a look at the whole big picture and all the big problems, you'll see one problem out of those many that you as a one individual can start to save and make a difference on, okay? And if everybody takes responsibility for at least one problem, no matter what the heck it is, if it's a problem with human consciousness, if it's a problem with people being lazy, if it's a problem with distracted youth not actually doing anything or people not being able to fulfill creative career prospects or come up with ideas or people are all submitting to authority, there's something everyone can do in order to solve at least one of those little problems. And as long as you're making a difference in that particular area, you're doing all right.
Yeah, definitely. Work on yourself and work for the world.
All right. Thank you. Mark O'Neill, RoyalManaBall.com. We'll see you again sometime, mate.
See ya.